Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the process and human development leading to spiritual identity and the requirements for initiation. Listen as we explain some of the visible and tangible clues to watch while educating thought up to spiritual apprehension. In this show, we will discuss terms like prayer and meditation as states of being instead of isolated activities. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and stop thinking by knowing the truth. Swami, the title of today's show is Graduating from Belief to Faith. Now, that word graduating is interesting because it makes it sound like we have to do something to get from belief to faith. Can you talk to us more about that?
Yeah, this idea of progression, this unfolding that takes place in a process. The physical body here is a mental image, but the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear. Though we now know the physical body isn't real, we do know it has a purpose because consciousness is experience. The physical form is a diagram of conscious awareness. Also, the outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. Learning how to control mortal thought by working with the relationship between life-sustaining force or life-sustaining appearance, number one, thought, and life-sustaining appearance, number two, breath. That starts to give us a foundation. But in order for us to initiate this progressive cycle, we really have to rebirth the body in spirit. The body was born into flesh, and now it has to be reborn into spirit. That's the origins of the word religion, means to relink. The word yoga means union. Unless we separate consciousness from being hijacked by the physical body and then reconnect it to the invisible, intangible omnipresence, then we continue to perpetuate this regressive cycle. This belief in two powers, the false sense of existence. And without a complete metaphysical health managing system, your ability to do this will be diminished enormously. That's why in the opening we talked about the two terms, prayer and meditation. Now, for Mary Baker Eddy, prayer was union with the divine. The term meditation that Joel Goldsmith uses, meditation by definition is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. There's quite a bit of preparatory work that must be in place in order to genuinely practice meditation. By enlisting strategies, yoga begins with this union with the divine. We have to separate our identity from this mortal sense of self, which is driven by a belief that matter is real, We believe this is genuine and a real existence. We don't have to make ourselves spiritual, but we do have to come out of the belief, this finite, imperfect, mortal sense of life is real.
So, Swami, how would we graduate that belief to faith? What would that look like?
Belief is the level playing field. We believe we're finite, mortal beings. We believe in God. We believe in the devil. We believe in mortality. We believe in growing old and dying. Now, in divine science, we have to believe in the divine creation. We have to believe in the perfection of being. Life is eternal, changeless, never needs anything added to it or taken away. Now, because divine creation is the truth, that is the only reality that is backed by spirit. Spirit is the only self-existent power in the universe. Now, if we believe in this truth and we are a faithful witness to it, then our belief in this truth must begin to reveal itself. Faith is when your belief in the divine creation, the perfection of being, is beginning to externalize in your experiences. And as Paul tells us in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. End of quote. So faith is when your belief is now starting to demonstrate. What we find is that spirit is a demonstrable principle. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words. And so, rather than just believing in the divine creative principle, we now start to use our conscious awareness of this divine truth as a new mode of operation. That's one of the things we start to work with. We start to control how we think. And then eventually we stop thinking. And then we let divine mind take over the scientific government of the body. And this is all a process where we're graduating from thinking with our 5 material senses to now knowing with our 7 spiritual senses. And it all begins when we start to enlist these strategies. That's why I keep coming back to the Kriya Yoga. It's a path of action. It's a path of knowledge. It's a path of devotion. And by coordinating these lifestyle suggestions and strategies, we start to see this developmental process has an evidence procedure. And we begin to use the testimony of our senses. The idea here isn't to patch up God's handiwork. We're not just here to try and heal the sick and reform sinners and raise the dead. We're here to live and move and have our being in the divine creation. We now walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking anymore to change finite bad to finite good. We've done that for years. And as Mary Baker Eddy said in the body, for those who want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So I'd like to read more on Hebrews 11. It starts at verse 3. I'll read it. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I think that's very interesting when we were talking about the physical body as a mental image. Can you give us more insight on this verse?
Yeah, for me, this is Paul's way of saying what John told us in his book. Everything was made by God, and anything that was not made by God wasn't made. And so through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The divine creation is spiritual. What is appearing in our material senses is a mental material concept about that. It's Genesis 2. It's a secondary creation. And it's up to us to start to understand that it's not backed by divine law, and therefore it isn't real. It's really driven by a hypnotic state caused by a belief in two powers. Now, we believe we are a finite mortal being with a separate mind and a separate life, but it's only a belief. And as we graduate from belief to faith, we're starting to come out of this belief in a finite, mortal, imperfect sense of self. But in order to do that with any degree of success, we have to start with a connection to the divine creation, this Word of God. The divine creation is pouring out. It is our responsibility to become conscious of it. And this idea of the physics of spirituality, like attracts like. If our identity is bound up in a physical body, we are drawn to things that are visible and tangible, which what we're finding isn't real. It's dualistic. It's in half. It's a divided consciousness. Now, if we graduate to a mental image, an astral image of ourselves, we are still in the mortal mind. And from that astral image, we now have or are drawn to what is invisible but tangible, which is also dualistic. In order for us to find liberation from this cycle of death and rebirth, we must become attracted to that which is invisible and intangible. The Bible tells us to love God. And in order to love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength, you must internalize the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence as your symbol for validation. That's the yoga. That's the union. That's religion. And without it, we struggle. But with it, we invite divine truth into our consciousness. Consciousness is experience. How would I know if I was conscious of divine truth? By the fruits of the Spirit, by what is appearing in my material senses. That's one of the reasons why I really stay with Christian Science, because Mary Baker Eddy is really one of the few that put healing on the table. She tells us straight out that if you cannot demonstrate the divine creation by healing the sick, reforming sinners, raising the dead, that you don't understand yourself spiritually. And so that gives you a litmus test. That gives you something that you can work with that's visible and tangible.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine.
This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So I'd like to get back to talking more about the process that you were talking about, specifically in this human development that leads to the spiritual identity. And also, can we talk about the requirements of initiation?
Yeah, at some point in life, one begins to question the events appearing in the corporeal senses and speculates there is more. When we refuse to believe life as just an appearance, observe with the senses, now we're ready to challenge the limits of the collective consensus, searching for the light beyond the illusion, the mental material veil obscuring the pure, unadulterated consciousness. In earlier times, they had points of passage and rites of passage. Everything was marked out. But approximately every 7, 7.5 years, we went through a point of passage. And then there were rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices to help us grow, initiate this developmental process. Today, we have none of this. And so we're chronologically aging and psychologically, spiritually, we're remaining in this underdeveloped state. And at some point, you decide, I don't want to do it anymore. And then you're going to need some leadership. Try a tried and true system. Kriya Yoga begins with yama, the abstentions, a value system that is in accordance with universal order, non-injury, non-lying, non-stealing, non-greed, non-sensuality. Now, the average person today who does not get out of infantile defense mechanisms doesn't really have the willpower, doesn't have the psychological organs to make these conscious choices. So we enlist strategies, things like dietary recommendations, breathing exercises, an exercise program develops your psychological organs. We have to be able to make conscious choices. Most of us are reactive, emotional, and we're controlled by the instincts and appetites of the physical body. That is considered unconscious awareness in Kriya Yoga. Mary Baker Eddy, in her book Science and Health, calls that the first degree of the scientific translation of mortal mind. Depravity, physical, I'll read it, evil beliefs, passions and appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, deceit, hatred, revenge, sin, sickness, disease, death. That's the first degree. In Kriya Yoga, we call unconscious awareness. Now, typically at age 7 was when we were supposed to have reached our first point of passage. That's when we graduate from being reactive, emotional, and living under the jurisdiction of infantile defense mechanisms, where we are seeking approval in decision making, to now being able to make decisions based on values in accordance with universal order. Now, by enlisting these strategies, we develop the willpower so we can make conscious choices. Without the hardware, it's very difficult to operate the software. And so you really have to employ these strategies initially. As you progress in your development, that effortful work of concentration becomes the effortless flow state of meditation. But before you get to meditation, you have to master yama, niyama, which are the observances, purification, austerity, contentment, sacred study, attunement to the absolute, To be able to rest in the knowledge, creation is perfect. The divine creative principle is running a perfect universe. No longer trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking, but being conscious of the perfection of being, the Word of God, pouring out, being fed from this divine table. This is what we're looking for. This is what initiates the progress of cycle. Without having this internal connection, we struggle with the unrest of this physical body, which is in constant need for validation. It's in search mode, and we need to calm it. Calmness, silence, and stillness. Silence is the language of spirit. Stillness is the activity. Before we can invite divine truth into our awareness, we must create this hospitable environment.
Swami, please explain for us some of the visible and tangible clues that we need to watch for while we're educating thought up to this spiritual apprehension. After all, we do want to stay on track.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the idea here isn't to punish yourself. It's not about abstaining, but it is about graduating. Now, your first phase in development, which is what we would call the larvae state, worldly happiness, unconscious awareness. We're emotional, indulgent, excitable, careless, the caterpillar, and we're separated from this divine creative principle. Now, the second phase, which would be the faith part, is where you are in a chrysalis state. You're intelligent, intellectual happiness, self-conscious awareness, abstinent, ambitious, you're careful, you're on the journey. And of course, everything that we're employing here is we want to be the human in the adult state. Eternal happiness, phase three, super conscious awareness. You're wise, liberated, enthusiastic, carefree. You're running on the life force, and you would be the equivalent of the butterfly. That's the return of the hero's journey. This is what we could call the resurrection, the ascension of consciousness.
So, I really like everything that you've been telling us so far this morning is information that's available on your website.
Yeah, we have a lot of this stuff tucked away in the website.
So I see we have some quotes here that may help us on the subject of belief. I'm going to read the first one. This is by Mary Baker Eddy from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 144, line 11. And I'll read it. The more material a belief, the more obstinately tenacious its error, the stronger are the manifestations of the corporeal senses, the weaker the indications of soul. Sounds pretty powerful to me. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, I think what she's talking about is what we said in the beginning. The physical body is a mental image, but the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear. How we think is what we become. And once we learn to stop thinking with the five material senses, and start knowing with the seven spiritual senses, then we begin to externalize the divine image and likeness as opposed to the human mental concept.
So it sounds to me that we have to be really careful about how strong we believe in something that's material, because as she says, more tenacious is its error.
Right. And remember, with belief and thought, we can change finite bad to finite good. In Revelations, it's what they call looks like a lamb, speaks like a dragon. What we're really aspiring to here is liberation from the belief in matter, liberation from the cycle of death and rebirth, which requires us to grasp and internalize spirit as our sole source of sustenance.
Next up, we have a quote here from Joel S. Goldsmith, and I'll read it. To believe that God is a power over evil is to believe that evil has an existence, and then we either must believe God to be the cause and creator of it, or we must accept another cause and creator. And the acceptance of any other cause or creator does away with omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence. End of quote. Swami, your thoughts?
Yeah, to really understand what is meant by spiritual identity, oneness, one perfect divine being looking at itself, as itself, of itself, and to itself. And as Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health, we render the divine law of healing void and obscure when we weigh the human in the same scale as the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God. If we have a belief in anything other than this one perfect divine creation, we create an interference pattern that no longer gives us a principle that we can demonstrate. And it also takes away the rule for that demonstration, because it can only function in oneness, one mind.
One more quote we have for our listeners. This is from Mary Baker Eddy, again from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Can be found on page 368, lines 20 to 24, and I'll read it. That life is not contingent on bodily conditions is proved when we learn that life and man survive this body. Neither evil, disease, nor death can be spiritual, and the material belief in them disappears in the ratio of one's spiritual growth. End of quote.
Once you have initiated your progressive cycle and you have internalized the divine omnipresence as your symbol for validation, then you want to monitor how you are progressing, because this idea of improportion to your understanding of yourself to be spiritual will then begin to reveal the truth of your being. Always remembering, though, that spirit is a demonstrable principle and that we must be conscious of it in order to activate it in experience. Now, thinking about it is not the same as being conscious of divine truth. Divine truth in consciousness resolves things into thoughts and exchanges the objects of sense for the divine idea. If what is appearing in your material senses does not have these divine qualities, the peace, love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, patience, temperance, then you have to understand that you cannot be conscious of the divine truth. And so you continue to make adjustments internally. And working that relationship between breath and thought, controlling your thoughts, being able to control how you think is a starting point, that effortful work of concentration. And then once you have mastered the fifth stage in yoga, which is sense withdrawal, as Mary Baker Eddy says, we must live above corporeal sense and correct it. These are important clues if you are trying to know this truth that will make you free from the belief in the false sense of existence, the mortal sense of existence.
Well, it is a time to end our program for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages on the website, if you scroll down towards the bottom, you'll see several buttons there that you can select to further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and stop thinking by knowing the truth. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.